In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate this great feast together, and it is a joy to see so many of you on this first day of the year turning to God. There's something special about today, not only that I didn't know I'd be offering this Mass until 11:30 at night, which the altar service said, Father, why were you awake that late? You have your pastor to blame for that. He wished to play some games, and so we did. We do whatever he said, which includes getting up early to offer this early morning Mass, which I had no idea was preached until that moment either. And so I hope we'll be short, but I don't think you'll be disappointed. In this feast of the circumcision, we mark the very moment where Christ first began the work of our salvation. The work of our salvation is accomplished by the shedding of the blood, as it speaks about all throughout scriptures, and especially in the book of Hebrews, that great apostle of faith, St. Paul, reminds us over and over again that Christ is the perfect Lamb, that whose blood shed speaks out more eloquently, as the Roman canon has always said since the beginning of the faith, cries out more eloquently than that of Abel. That first drop of blood, which gushed forth for the infant child, was enough to save the entirety of the universe from every sin. And so it is there in innocence that he begins this great work. But what also is accomplished on this first moment with the Lord? It's in this first moment with the Lord that not only is his blood shed, but it is important to note that it is the moment when his name was confirmed. When St. Joseph, taking his fatherly authority as priest of the household of God, priest of the household in which God actually rests, calls his name, giving him his mission, which he's had from all eternity. The second person of the Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ, his name means what? Salvation. And so as his blood is shed, so too his mission is confirmed that he will save. The first pope, the Apostle Peter, speaks eloquently to those who wish to destroy him, destroy the name. That there is only one name under heaven by which men can be saved. His name means salvation. His very first act there in innocence is the same. And every drop of blood is the most precious gift that anyone could ever deserve. When we invoke his name, realize something. When you invoke the name of the Lord Christ, you invoke his presence. So many of the saints throughout the ages speak about there is one way, one perfect way to pray. Oftentimes, within our difficulties, we become so depressed, we become so lost, so stressed, so mixed up in all of our emotions that we can barely even utter anything. And so it's so difficult for us to even turn to God because our head cannot be lifted. What the saints remind you and I is to, in those moments, not to lose despair, to fall in despair, rather, to lose hope, to be lost in confusion. But the most perfect prayer that you and I can ever pray is not merely by going through our prayer books or searching through the back of the church where we have those wonderful brochures for Mothers for Priests or any of the other devotions which we hand at the conclusion of the sermon. I will talk to you about one in particular. You need to do this, to cry out with whatever muster your heart can have to say the name of Jesus. So let that name just drip off your lips. Because wherever it is invoked, the whole of his being is invoked. He was salvation. The ancient monks have the practice of praying the Jesus Prayer. You know this well. It always brings me to light when I think about it because I remember the way in which they're instructed to pray it. They're instructed to pray it as they are breathing. So they breathe out the name and they breathe in the name. And they breathe out the name and they breathe in the name. But they're instructed to do so with downcast head and prayerful reverence so that they're not constantly having to nod in this way. But as they say that holy name, they're instructed to have their head as such a tilt that their beard touches their breast. Some of you, that will be more of a stretch than others, but some of you can accomplish that with little effort. Blessed are you. In the Gospel of the Circumcision today, we find it from Luke, this short gospel which is only one verse. It says that after 8 days were accomplished, then that child should be circumcised. His name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Again, in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, St. Peter says that there is no other name under which heaven by which men can be saved. And so this offers for you and I the gospel of the holy name of Jesus. This is a devotion which I wish to put forward to you. Remember, we had a beautiful, what do you call it, a beautiful mission that was preached recently. Father Carney of Holy Face fame came and spoke to us. Long-awaited as he was for 5 years. He spoke to us about a great saint, Sister Mary of St. Peter. She's best known for establishing a work of devotion to the Holy Face. That's not the only thing that our Lord revealed to this woman, this blessed nun. Jesus also revealed to her the virtue of his holy name and urged her to make it known by distributing an article of devotion known as the Gospel of the Holy Name. Are you familiar with this? The Gospel of the Holy Name. It merely consists of a leaflet on which the following is printed. Quote, the short Gospel of the Circumcision, which mentions the giving of the name of Jesus to our Savior. On it should be a picture of the child Jesus in the initials of his sacred name. And some invocations intend to inspire confidence together with the lines, quote, when Jesus was named, Satan was disarmed. Think of that for a moment. Our Lord wishes you and I to have this devotion to see that when he is named, Satan is disarmed. So all the wiles of the devil, the attacks, the temptations which so easily throw you off, those discouragements which come with financial difficulty or hardship in bearing children, or the difficulties that come through daily living that so easily take the wind out of our sails and make us feel like we can't go any further, remember, it was at the naming of Jesus that Satan lost all of his force, that all his wiles and distractions, that all his ways of destroying your life and mine were blunted. So when you name the name of Jesus, you just affirm what has already been done. Satan has no power over the one who invokes the name of Jesus. And so prodigies continue. Miracles continue to the sanction of this humble yet well-founded practice to this present day of the Gospel of the Holy Name. But the Gospel of the Circumcision, what Jesus does is he glorifies his holy name and restores health to the sick. He converts sinners. He bestows grace to those who desire to practice justice within their lives. But is especially blessed in the case with those who are dying sinners. So what our Lord made evident to Sister Mary of St. Peter, five promises in honor of the five letters of that name, the holy name of Jesus. And through this virtue of his five wounds to all those who bear this little gospel upon themselves. Don't worry, in the back of the church, I printed out a number of copies of it. Gave them to those who are security men. You can grab them from them at the end of the Mass. Little cards that I cut out for you this morning. What are those five promises for those who wear this devotion? First, that you will have protection from lightning. We know in these days that there are lightning strikes that have happened, destroying images, giving signs and prodigies and wonders. I won't speak about such things. But if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. I believe that's how your pastor speaks about these things. You want protection from those lightnings. Wear this devotion. Secondly, you'll have the grace to escape the snares of the devil. Thirdly, you'll have protection from a sudden and unprovided for death. Thirdly, you'll obtain the grace to lead a virtuous life, even if you're struggling to accomplish all the precepts of virtue because of habitual difficulties. Fifthly, you'll have the grace of final perseverance. And that is for what we all pray. At the conclusion of this Mass, we'll also pray the litany of the precious blood of Jesus. And so rather than wax more upon this great feast which we celebrate, I'll conclude with a prayer that the Carmelites shared with me for this particular feast. Let us pray. O divine Savior, through the victory you have gained over Satan by taking the name of Jesus, deliver us from his snares. O Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us. O Jesus, Son of the Virgin Mary, have mercy upon us. O Jesus and Mary, be merciful to us. Make us, O Lord, to have continual fear and love of your holy name for you. You never abandon the care of those who by your grace cease not to love you, who live and reign forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.